Two, I know that.
All right, and you're live.
Am I live? All right, Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm about to get out of here, so I'm happy. Man. Praise the Lord. Pastor Ben needs a little haircut, but
yeah,
I know it didn't hurt his prayer time.
Amen.
I saw you on TV, Pastor Ben. I was like, that haircut ain't bothering his prayer time at all. So praise
God. We can ask you all to stand one more time.
My wife's going to pray for me.
Hallelujah.
We're going to get started.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm happy to see everybody.
Yes.
I didn't know your testimony, Zach, so thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Somebody's at the back door. Oh, that's Greg. Okay.
Amen.
Now, I appreciate you doing that testimony, Zach. That was a blessing. Wow. I thought you were born and raised in Cali.
He's in the airport.
Yeah. I didn't know. Wow.
Yes. And then Abigail brought her family today.
Oh, yeah.
And they gave their lives to Christ, Sandy.
They accepted
yes,
Christ?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's a blessing. You led him in prayer and everything?
Yep. Yes, he did.
Woo-wee. That's a lot of baptisms. Let's see. Amen. One, two.
Amen. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we just thank you, dear Jesus, for the ministry that went forth, dear Lord. Souls were saved on this morning, dear Jesus, and I believe it was more than we even know about, dear Lord. Those that were listening, all receive Christ today, dear Lord, that you just burned in someone's heart today, dear Lord, and they wanted to be a part of your glorious family, part of your glorious kingdom, dear Jesus. And as we continue to prepare, dear Lord, for your coming, dear Jesus, we stand as a witness, dear Lord, asking those to come and join with us, dear Jesus, in your glorious return, dear Lord. So we thank you, dear Jesus. We bless you on today. We pray for Pastor Sandy.
Yeah.
As he delivered the message that's burning in his heart, dear Lord, just as you've given it to him, dear Lord, with the boldness of Christ.
Yes.
We thank you for this time together, dear Lord, as we continue to sup with one another, dear Jesus. Let your word leave an imprint on our heart this morning.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you and we bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my beautiful wife.
Amen.
Awesome inside and out. She is. Hallelujah. Wow, we didn't get Zach's on tape though, huh?
No, we didn't.
Man, that would have been good for everybody to hear. That's a blessing.
Good.
Wow. Okay, so is everybody ready for the word today?
Yes, sir.
All right, praise the Lord. I'm going to start off today by sharing a letter from a Jewish friend of mine, and his name is David. And he's one of the members online. I was reading it this morning, and it's always a blessing to me to hear when a Jewish person accepts Jesus.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Because that is one of the most difficult things to do, because your whole family is telling you, you better not even mention that name in this house.
Yep.
If you become a Christian, you're no longer Jewish. That's what they tell them. And don't be reading no New Testament in this house. And I mean, it is very hard to get to know Jesus in a Jewish family. So I'm going to read as much as I can. I'm going to try to read fast so I can get through this, okay? It says, Dear Pastor Sandy, I know you get many letters, and I know you had mentioned it's hard to read long letters. Pastor, I will try to make my testimony short. The first thing I will have to say, you are the only pastor alone with Pastor Ben that I watch and listen to. Hallelujah. Y'all listen to too many people. That's why you have, it's so confusing, some of the questions you guys have. It says, I do have to mention that he used to watch me play football on television. And it says, as well as the other teams you played with, like the Canadian teams, you are a great testimony in the way you must understand what the Lord wants us to do and how We should follow him. Pastor, your Hebrew is great. I know because I grew up as an Orthodox Jew and did bar mitzvah when I was 13. That's the becoming of a man if you when you're Jewish. It says, I was taught not to mention the name Jesus. I never did and went on to have a wild and very crazy life. I won't get into details. It would take a lot of pages. It says, I finally came to Jesus some 6 years ago, and I am just amazed how much Jesus is mentioned in the Old Testament. Hmm. He is the way, the truth, and the life of this world. Since coming to him, my life has changed. I feel so much freedom, love for others. My attitude toward everyone has changed. Pastor, my family does not talk to me much anymore since becoming a Christian. I remember going to synagogue after learning service, and there was always an empty feeling. Not anymore. I have my church.
Yeah.
I have my church, and it is yours.
Yeah.
The happiness that I feel after watching is amazing. Your Hebrew is spot on. Your Hebrew is spot on. Too hard to go. It says too hard. Oh, had to go to Hebrew school growing up. And although I learned it, I felt empty. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. It says, I wish all my Jewish family and friends would open their blind eyes. I could really go on and on, but I'm not good at writing at the age 65, Pastor Sam. Anyway, I wanted to read this letter because today's message is really, is how do you end up ignoring God all your life? Like, how does someone live to be 80 years old and they never met Jesus? They've never come to know Jesus. They've never had an interaction. Is it because they didn't want to hear it, or because they were ignored, or is it because they were deceived? And the answer to that question is all of the above in some cases, okay? Because Satan's whole idea is for you to live your whole life and never find out what it takes to get to heaven. Because some people think they're on their way to heaven for the wrong reason. You understand? Because you can have a ticket, but it's not a plane ticket. And so you go to the airport, just like, yeah, that's a ticket, but it can't get you anywhere, right? That's how a lot of us were before we met Christ. We thought, like, I'm pretty much not as bad as people think. I think I'll go to heaven. Mm-hmm. That's a bad ticket. Uh-huh. Okay? So today's message is how to ignore. The question is how to ignore Jesus for 120 years. How does that happen? How do you not place Jesus as being the number one and only thing in life that matters? Okay? Because Jesus says there's only one way to life, and it's through Christ. And he says every man must be born again. Okay? And the scripture says if you're not born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. So these are some strong statements, because if the book of Enoch says God only made two places after death, and you know you're not going to heaven, you know where the other place is, right? So it's like, this is a very important step in your life, accepting Jesus. That means your faith. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you came into this world, that you died on the cross. I believe that you resurrected from the grave. I believe that you are Lord. Come in my life, be my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
That is the most important prayer that anyone can say in their whole life.
Yes.
Because it's now the door to God coming inside of you for the first time and you being born again. Now you have a ticket, okay?
Right.
Guess who knows you have a ticket?
The enemy.
Satan knows you have a ticket. And Satan just wants to see your ticket. Can I hold it for a minute? Because it's like that, the lady on the metro, the kid goes there, can I use your phone for a minute so I can call my mother? And you know what happened, right? He took off running. And she's like, oh, he took my phone. And I'm like, oh. She was just a nice lady. She just was what the Bible says Christians are. We're not, the Bible never says we're dumb. It says we're gullible. Yeah. It's like we don't think that people are trying to harm us. So we trust everybody, right? But we have to not be so gullible sometimes and say, yeah, you can use the phone, but I'm going to hold it and you can talk while I'm holding it. You know? Yeah, yeah, I put it on speaker. You talk to your mama. I don't know you. So I'm just saying, understand that you have a ticket, but also understand that Satan wants it. Okay? He wants it. And I'm not saying he wants it back because he never had it. But he knows you have it now. He's been where you're going. And he knows, okay? She's about to inherit what I used to have, and she's just a human. She's not even an angel.
Right.
She don't have any power. She's just a regular immortal human, and she's on her way to my used to be home.
Yep.
And so Satan always wants to take it back. That's where your part comes in, okay? Now you have to say, how do I protect this, my position in Christ? Because if you think that Satan is not going to try to take that ticket, you lost your mind. Because the war is on, and Satan knows the war is on. So now, okay, so how does Satan get? He has to offer you something that he knows you want. You know what I mean? So he knows what sins you enjoy. So that's what he's going to offer you. He's not going to offer you, you know, foolishness. Satan has never tested me with homosexuality. I'm like, psh, please. You know what I mean? But he might test me with anger. He might test me with things that he knows that I have weaknesses in. So he's going to come at you with what he believes that he can get you with. And you have to realize how valuable what you have is. Because your ticket is to heaven. This is like, this is not a ticket to Florida. This is, you know what I mean? You're not going on vacation to Texas. This is heaven.
Right.
And Satan wants that. So you're in it, but the whole world's been kind of fooled into believing that the world's going to last forever, right? Someone was sent me a inbox message saying, I'll be glad when things get back to normal so me and my family can go to the football games and do the things we used to do. I said, what if it never gets back to normal? What if you're living in a time where God says it's not getting back to normal? What if you're living in a time where God says, you're never going to see what you used to see again? Okay? So therefore, in this time of warning, take and see how I'm warning you, and hopefully that's going to push you to God. Do you know that this pandemic was to push people to God? It was not to pull people away from God. It was to shut down everything so that people would see the craziness and run to God. So we have earthquakes, fires, riots, pandemic, and people still like, yeah, but I don't need Jesus. So something's wrong. Okay.
Amen.
Let's read this, and I'm going to be reading in a book called Esdras. Is this Esdras? Yeah, no, this is Jasher. I'm reading from the book of Jasher. And I just want you guys to read, know, and understand that we're living in the days of Noah, okay? We're living in the time where Jesus says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? Meaning that God already told you how the end would be.
Mm-hmm.
How did he tell you? He told you by showing you Noah's life.
Yeah.
Because God gave Noah a certain amount of time that boat would be on the earth. You have this on the earth. This boat with how many doors on the boat?
One.
One. There's one door to enter the boat, and if you are not on this boat when it starts raining, you're done. And Noah preached this for 120 years, and then the flood came, and no matter what anyone had to say, it was done. That meant what? Noah means rest, but backwards is what? Grace. That means grace, that 120 years of time of grace was over, okay? And so now you are in a position where you get what you get because you ignored God for 120 years, okay? Here it is. It says in Jasher, is I think it's chapter, let's see, chapter six, verse 10. And the book of Jasher is mentioned in the Old Testament. It says, all of the animals and beasts and fowls were still there, and they surrounded the ark in every place. And the rain had not descended till 7 days after. Okay? God told them to go into the ark, okay? Because in 7 days, something is going to happen. Now listen, what I'm going to tell you. We're living in the time of Noah, and you may get a 7 day warning. If your eyes are open and you're focused on Jesus, you're going to see the warning.
Yeah.
If your eyes are not open and you're not focused on Jesus, it's just going to be another world event to you.
Right.
But God says this event that's about to happen is going to be a warning to the whole world that it's time, okay? Every Christian who's focused on Jesus for 7 days is going to be prepared. Every Christian whose focus is on the world and when are things going to get back to normal is not going to be prepared, okay? I'm so thankful for the people that are getting saved now because you got saved just in time.
Amen.
You don't know it, but you got saved. A lot of prophecy and history has passed and you didn't know Christ. But the most important thing is not knowing history and prophecy and Hebrew. The most important thing is knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
And so you got in, and it doesn't matter how much you know or how much you didn't know. You know Jesus. Amen. And that's the ticket.
That's it.
Let me finish reading this. So for 7 days, nothing happened. And it says, and on that day, the Lord caused the whole earth to shake. And the sun darkened, and the foundations of the world raged, and the whole earth was moved violently, and the lightning flashed, and the thunders roared, and all the fountains of the earth were broken up, such as was not known to the inhabitants before. And God did this mighty act in order to terrify men, that there might be no more evil upon the earth. So God did this. He gave them a warning. 7 days. Here it is. Watch what happens. And it happened. And God said, and the Bible, and Jasher says, he did it in hopes that men would repent and stop doing evil. Mm-hmm. But let's see what happened. It says, and still the sons of men would not return from their evil ways. And they increased the anger of the Lord at that time and did not even direct their hearts to all this. At the end of 7 days, in the 600th year of Noah's life, the water of the floods were upon the earth. And it says, and all the foundation of the deep were broken open, and the windows of heaven opened, and the rain was upon the earth for 40 days and for 40 nights. And Noah and his household and all the living creatures that were with them came into the ark on the account of the water of the flood. And the Lord, who shut the door?
The Lord.
And the Lord shut the door. And all the sons of men that were left upon the earth became exhausted through evil on the account of the rain, for the water was coming more violently upon the earth, and the animals and the beasts were still surrounding the ark. And the sons of men assembled together, about 700,000 men and women, and they came to the ark, to Noah. And they called Noah, saying, "Open, open for us that we may come to thee in the ark, unless we shall die." And Noah, with a loud voice, answered them from the ark, saying, "Have you not all rebelled against the Lord and said that there is no that there is no God and he does not exist? Therefore the Lord brought upon you this evil to destroy you and cut you off from the face of the earth." Is not this the thing that I spoke to you about for 120 years, Noah said, and you would not listen to the voice of the Lord, and now you desire to live upon the earth? And they said to Noah, "We are ready to return to the Lord. Only open the door and let us in." It's easy to repent when you're right in the middle of a flood, right? You don't have to wait till you get in the middle of a flood to repent. But I want you to know the time is upon the earth, okay? The warning has been set out, not the last warning, because 7 days before it happens, you're going to get another one. The warning has been set out into all the earth to tell you, if you don't believe in Bible stories, now's a good time to believe in them, because you're living in one. And so since you're in the middle of a Bible study story and they're talking about the chip in your hand, mm-hmm. they're talking about the chip in your forehead, okay? They're talking about these things now. This is not like before, like, oh, some future thing that's in the Bible, but we don't know how that could possibly happen. We know how it's going to happen now. This is not gossip anymore about the Bible. This is, you're living in the story. Okay, so now if you don't believe in the Bible stories, you better start believing now, because now you're in it.
Yep.
Okay, now I'm going to show something that the Lord has shown me in the last 2 weeks. I'm going to make it simple because I got to get back to the Bible study. Okay, we'll go over here real fast, and I'm going to erase that. The plan of God in the world is that a day equals 1,000 years and 1,000 years equals a day. This is 4,000. This is 5,000. This is 6,000. Okay? And these are the months of the Hebrew calendar. I won't rewrite all that. But the months of the Hebrew calendar were changed. I want you to understand that. God did like this. What do you call it? Inverting? Mm-hmm. God changed all the months of the Hebrew calendar. Why did God change the months of the Hebrew calendar? Because everything begins with one, right here, and everything ends in the 8,000th year, right there. So God changed because this month, Nisan, used to be the seventh month of the year. God said, no, that can't be the seventh month of the year. Why not? Because that's when I'm going to begin grace. That's when I'm going to begin salvation. What is the month of Nisan? The month of Nisan is the month that Jesus came into Jerusalem, died on the cross, and resurrected on what? The 17th day of Nisan. So God said, we're going to make Nisan the first month because this is when salvation is going to start. This is when God's going to come. He's going to die on the cross and he's going to resurrect for your salvation. So I'm going to make Nisan the first month of the year. Now, since he did that, he says, but I already told you the end before I told you the beginning. What's the end? Noah and the ark. So he says, make Noah's, the time the flood started, make that the eighth month of the year. Because everything begins at one and everything ends at eight, because eight is a new beginning. So now Hezron is the end of the story. But it can't just happen any year. It has to be in the 120th year. Welcome to the 120th year. If you don't know why it's the 120th year, see me so we can get you some Proverbs chapter 1 through 20 studies. So now we're in the 120th year. And in November, it's going to be the month of Hezron. See, that's the Jewish name for the month that's coming, Hezron. So everything ends here. And when did the flood start? On the 17th day of Hezron. Okay? This prophecy got fulfilled. Jesus came into the world. He died on the cross on the 14th. 3 days later, 15th, 16th, 17th, he resurrected and back to life. You can now have salvation. Prophecy fulfilled. We got two prophecies, though. The flood started on the 17th of Hezron. Has there been another flood? Is there coming another flood upon the earth? Is there coming another day of Noah? Yes, Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. This has not been fulfilled, and it could not be fulfilled until we reach the 120th year. And now you're in 2020, guess what? It's the 120th year. So next month, November 4th, is going to be Hezron 4th. In the 120th year, it's going to be Hezron 17th in the 120th year. So you are here at the pinnacle of prophecy, and people are sending me messages like, I can't wait till things get back to normal. And I'm trying to tell you that even my friend in Japan, who's dealing with the MI6 and all of these CIA and stuff, he says, they have already said, who are they? The Illuminati, the people on Beast Bank. He said, they have already said they are not going to stop the COVID thing until they have a one world republic. And so they're looking to push the world into one world order. And we're hopeful, like, things are going to get back to normal so I can go to the mall. And God is trying to tell you, look, you've got to think bigger than the mall. Heaven. Okay? God is trying to get you prepared for real life. How many years do we get to live here? 70 if you're blessed, right? You live more, man. You're really blessed. But your life here is like a vapor. It's a drop of water in a bucket. Eternal life is what you're after. Okay? And God wants to give you and your family eternal life. But you have to be humble enough to say, I've gotten it wrong for a long time, but I got to get it right today because I love me and I love my family and I want all of us to have eternal life. And I can't believe that people will ignore Christ knowing that they have wives and kids and they still like, well, I don't need Jesus. I'm into another religion. As if there is another way. There is no other way. And we're going to talk about that today as well. So I want you to know, November is the month of Hezron. November 4th is Hezron 17th. We do not know the day or the hour because it'll be Hezron 17th on a day before it's 17th here. And it'll be the 17th here, a day before it's 17th somewhere else. So you don't know the day or the hour. But you know one thing for absolute sure. That's a very crazy time because we're in the 120th year and the 17th of Hezron is coming. This is the first time this has happened in history, okay? And a lot of other things the first time in history, but we don't have time to talk about that. Let's go. Amen. Let's get back into the Word, or get into the Word. Okay. I need this back. One of the things they have been talking about in these last days is this thing called the Abrahamic religions. How many of you guys heard of that? The Abrahamic religions. You know what the Abrahamic religions are? They say, Muslims are a part of the Abrahamic religion, and Jews are a part of the Abrahamic religion, and Christians are part of the Abrahamic religion. So they even built a complex, I've forgotten what country, where they have huge buildings that they built where all three religions can worship at the same time, and then they can all come together in fellowship because they're all worshiping the God of Abraham, and they're all descendants from Abraham, okay? And let me tell you something. If I want to fool you, and I know that there is a door that leads to life, what is the best way for me to fool you? To create 20 other doors. And then shuffle them. And then now you don't know which door unless you study. And unless somebody with the truth comes and tells you, not that door. Mm-mm. Try that, that don't work, right? Now somebody has to come and show you what is the true door that leads to life. Because Satan's job is to create other doors. So now, as we're talking here, wait a minute. They're not, years ago they used to talk about building the third temple. Now they got plans.
Right.
Do you understand? They got, you know, the structure, the blueprints, the when can we get started, okay? So this is not a prophetic thing that they're talking about in the future. This is something they're talking about now, okay? They're talking about the Messiah is already here. Who do they think the Messiah is?
Trump.
Donald Trump. You know why they think he's the Messiah? Because to you, the Messiah means Jesus Christ died on the cross. He's coming back. To them, the Messiah means a man who's going to be head over the whole earth, who's going to do wonderful things for the nation of Israel, bring them peace and allow them to bring to build their temple. And who's been doing all these wonderful things for Israel? Donald Trump. So in Israel, Donald Trump is Mashiach. He's the Messiah. He's the one that's coming. He's the one we've been waiting for. Does he have plans to build a temple? Yes, he does. Does he have plans to have a peace treaty in the Arab nations with Israel? Yes, he does. So you can't sit here waiting for things to get back to normal a month before the book of Revelation starts. You have to have plans to what? Leave, which is my calling. Prepare the people to leave. Okay.
Amen.
So here, let's go to John chapter 3. You guys might be waiting. Is he ever going to read the Bible? Yes. John chapter 3. Although I could talk a long time, but I like to read the Bible. John chapter 3. Verse 39. This is 339. Wait a minute. 339. Wait a minute. 36. Nope. That's the wrong book or the wrong scripture. 3. Okay, I'm going to tell you the scripture I'm looking for, and I'll speak it to you. So Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees say to Jesus Christ, well, Jesus is accusing them of so many things, and they immediately say, we're the children of Abraham. And Jesus says, do not say that we are the children of Abraham. Because they don't really know what being the children of Abraham really means. Because Jews are the descendants of Abraham, but they are not the children of Abraham because they don't believe what Abraham believed. The children of Abraham are those who believe by faith in Jesus Christ. Because Abraham believed what? That Jesus Christ was coming. Abraham believed that he would die on the cross. Abraham believed that he would be resurrected from the grave. Abraham believed that the Lamb that was coming into the world was going to be Jesus. He was going to die on the cross. He was going to be resurrected. And by that, God accredited Abraham for his belief in that. God accredited him righteousness.
Yes.
Okay? So if you accepted Christ and you were not righteous before, when you accept Christ, God has accredited you righteousness because of what? Your belief in what? In his project. What's his project? I'm going to come into the world. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins. I'm going to resurrect. And Abraham believed that. And what did God do? God added, said, you're no longer Abram, you're now Abraham. He put the H in the Hebrew letter in his name, which means the Holy Spirit. So because he believed, he got the Holy Spirit. Okay? So Abraham received the Holy Spirit. Then he told the gospel to his wife, and he said, don't call her Sarah anymore. Call her Sarah, and put the H on the back of her name, because now she believes. Okay? This is about your belief in Jesus Christ to give you life. Okay. Now, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 22. All right. Genesis chapter 22. All right. In Genesis chapter 22, what is going on here? What is going on here? It says Abraham is tested. What went on here with Abraham tested? God tells Abraham, I know you just had a son and you love him, and he's your only son. This is what I wanted you to do. Come out here to the stars. I want to show you something. He takes Abraham out and shows Abraham the star constellations. Now, in the star constellations, you know what you can see? That there's a lamb. And the lamb is the king of the world. And the lamb's going to die. And the lamb's going to resurrect and become king. And God is telling Abraham his story about what he's going to do with Jesus Christ, with himself. How do we know? Because in Genesis chapter 22, Isaac asked him, Dad, where is the lamb? We got the wood for the burnt offering, but where is the lamb? And this is what Abraham says. I'm going to read it in the English. It says, God himself will provide the lamb. It doesn't say that in Hebrew. It says, Elohim Yireh Lo. God will appear in the future as the lamb. So Abraham tells his son, God is going to appear in the future as the lamb. And Abraham and Isaac, like, wow. So Isaac is willing to go through with this. Some of us think Isaac was 5. Right. Isaac was 30 years old. Isaac agreed with this. Isaac wasn't a little kid. He was almost 30 years old. And so Isaac is agreeing to go ahead and be the sacrificial lamb. Just like Jesus agreed to it. Nobody pushed Jesus to the cross, right, even though you guys think so. But Jesus created that cross.
Yeah.
Jesus created that day. Jesus, the cross was Jesus' passion. When Jesus got to the cross, he was very happy. He's like, this is victory. Although it stressed him out, he knew how it was going to be. But he said, no, I created this moment. I created this day. So because you need a savior, you need a savior, you need a savior. Because I only created two places to live after here, heaven and hell. So you need a savior, you need a savior. So I'm going to the cross, and this is my passion to do this for you.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus did. So Abraham is telling his wife, God is going to come and die on the cross for our sins. How do we know? Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Because I'm saying that, but that don't mean nothing if the Bible don't say it. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 8. Oh, let's start at verse 6. It says, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand that Those who believe are the children of God. Those who believe what? The gospel. The scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. You hear that? All nations will be blessed through you. So God announced the gospel to Abraham before Jesus came. And so Abraham believed the gospel. That's how he became the children of Abraham. Someone saying, oh, Abraham's one of our descendants, does not make you a religion of Abraham. There's not three Abrahamic religions in the world: Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. We're all Abrahamic. Abraham, like, I never believed in none of two of those.
Right.
Abraham was never Islamic. I dove into that, and let me tell you what the Quran says. Quran says Abraham never even took Isaac on top of the mountain. He took Ishmael.
Ooh.
That's what the Quran says.
Wow.
That was my first argument in the mosque. One of these books are wrong.
Right.
And I got to find out which one is.
Amen.
Because you're telling me Abraham took Ishmael to Mount Moriah, and this book telling me that Abraham took Isaac. Both these books can't be right. And there was the day I got kicked out. That led to the day of me getting kicked out. Go back to your church and your Jesus. It's like, fine. Don't want to be Muslim anyway. So I'm just letting you know there's only one way. Now, Abraham believed God. How do we know that Abraham believed God? I want you guys to go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And pray that I find James fast. I can't stand those little books you can't find fast. Okay, I got it. Somebody prayed for me. All right. Abraham chapter 2. James chapter 2. And we're going to start reading verse 20, okay? Now, what am I trying to say here? Here. Now watch this. Chapter 2, it says, you foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Okay, this is my question to you guys. Abraham believed God that he could resurrect a human being. Because he was telling him to sacrifice Isaac, but then he told him, but Isaac's descendants are going to be many. Wait a minute, if I'm going to kill him, how is he going to have many descendants? Abraham believed God that he could resurrect Isaac even if he sacrificed him.
Right.
He believed the gospel. And so Abraham said, well, how is this going to happen? Well, I'm going to carry the cross to my crucifixion. He says, okay, on the way there, I'm going to make Isaac carry the wood so we can get this down pat. So Isaac is on his way to be crucified. He's carrying the wood because he's representing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're on their way, and Abraham believes that God is going to resurrect him. First of all, he's taking his son. When God told Abraham the gospel, would you have believed it? Yes. Would you have acted on it?
Mm.
That's the question.
Right.
You believing is nothing. You acting on it is what God wants.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you believe, that's just faith.
Right.
And faith
without works
yeah. is dead. Okay? Let's continue reading here.
Yeah.
It says, you foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? His righteousness did not come by his faith. His righteousness came by what? What he did with his faith.
That's right.
You see that his faith and his actions were working together. This is the Bible, y'all. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scriptures was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. There is no scripture in the Bible that tells you your salvation is by faith alone.
Right.
It tells you your salvation is through Christ alone.
Right.
Faith in Christ alone, because it's only through Christ you can be saved. But your faith has to be accompanied by what? What you do.
Yeah.
How am I going to rob you of your salvation? Your faith has nothing to do with what you do.
Right.
Just say the prayer and go on with life and do what you want. If you feel like cheating on your wife and you already accepted Christ, don't worry about it because you're already saved. And so you set a bunch of people up for what? For hell, because they've ignored the scripture that says they're saved by what they do and their faith.
Yeah.
So the scripture says here, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Who wrote the Bible? God. All word is inspired by who? God. So God wants us to know it is not just, Lord, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. And then you go, now I'm going to go back to watching Maury Povich every day and cursing my kids out. And you know, but I said the prayer.
Right.
And God goes, yeah. No, he doesn't. He says, okay, now live it.
Right.
Now, okay, if you mess up, you can repent because I've set that structure up. You understand? Mm-hmm. To keep us in union, right? Because I can apologize to my wife. Sorry, I yelled at you yesterday, man. I was like, take these keys and put them over there. And she was like, who are you talking to? But I apologize, you understand? Because what? We're in a relationship. So if you mess up, you can apologize, repent, and keep your relationship going. That's what God set up. He didn't set up a system where you can accept him and then go on doing whatever you want to do. Okay, so this is not by works, not by faith alone. This is by what you do.
Right.
Abraham's faith, we are children of Abraham because Abraham did what he believed. You understand?
Amen.
Let's go. Amen. So now, let's go to, did I read the verse 24? I wanted to read also James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Go to James chapter 5. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. James chapter 5, verse 7. Now listen, you guys. Be patient. That's what the word says. James chapter 5. Be patient then, brother, until the Lord's coming. Do you know how many times does the Bible say that Jesus is coming? How many times does the Bible talk about the rapture and the wedding and the taking the believers out of the world? A lot, all through the Bible. It is actually supposed to be the main focus of all Christians.
Yeah.
But Satan has convinced you that Christianity is about church attendance.
Yeah.
So since you believe it's about church attendance, and nobody and the churches are paid. And I'm telling you right now, the people who own the churches don't want them talking about the coming of the Lord and the rapture. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because if you know, you'll prepare yourself and you'll be waiting for that day,
yeah,
anticipating, and that hope will guide you into better living. But if you don't believe he's coming and all your hope is on the world, your hope is in how much money you can get, how far you can get in life,
yeah,
your dreams coming true, because
yep,
they sell you that in songs and TV.
Yep.
But nobody tell you, you know what I mean? I would love if the news came on to that, like, you know, today we just want to let everybody know that Jesus is coming at an unexpected time and we all need to be ready. So I hope you're in your word. God bless you. See you at 11. right?
Yeah.
But they're not going to tell you that, right?
They're not gonna do that.
So everything's about you, and it's supposed to every. So even when you go to church, your best time now, your best life now,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
You're going to get your breakthrough. Oh, God ain't forgot about your dreams. Everything's focused on you, right?
Right.
That's fleshly preaching. And to be ready, and you need to be living in an active relationship.
Yeah.
Okay? You got a Bible? You can be in an active relationship. Okay?
Yeah.
You have a room where you can read? You can be in an active relationship. Relationship means what? We're spending time together.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is what God wants. He wants an active relationship with every believer.
Amen.
Let's continue reading here. We read verse 5, chapter 5, verse 7. Okay. It says in verse 8. I'm sorry. It says, be patient then, brethren, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valued crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rain. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brother, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. And that's, I think, a message, because God knew we'd have social media.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's fighting. We got Christians fighting against, I mean, over the dumbest things, you know, like Jesus died on a Tuesday. No, he didn't. You're a false prophet. He died on a Wednesday. You know, I'm like, they click the button and unfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why'd you unfriend him? Because he believes Jesus died on a Tuesday. What does that have to do with you guys being brothers and in Christ together? But Satan has us grumbling. But he says, don't do this type of stuff, because this will cause you to be judged. The judge is standing at the door waiting to blow the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let us judge each other in our lives. We should encourage each other to live righteous lives before God, right?
Yeah.
That's our thing, encourage each other.
Amen.
Let's drop down to verse 19. Maybe we could finish here. Verse 19 says, my brethren, talking to Christians, my brothers, if one of you should wander off from the truth, can you wander off from the truth if you were never in the truth?
Nope.
How are you going to wander off of something you ain't never been in? So do you think he's talking to a Christian, about a Christian here, or just talking to somebody who never believed?
Christian.
He's talking to a Christian. He said, my brothers, first of all, okay, if one of you should wander from the truth, what's the truth? Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And someone should bring you back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from their error of their ways will save him from death. And that Greek word is thanatos, which means eternal judgment in hell. It's not physical, you just died. Okay? So if you know somebody who was a Christian, and you say, why don't you go back to Christ and start living the way you used to? And that person says, you know, you're right. And they turn back to Christ. The scripture says you've saved them from death. Okay? It says, and have covered a multitude of sins. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about not only believing by faith. We're talking about a lifestyle that says that I believe in Jesus. Like your lifestyle says you're married, right? You can't tell me you're married. You're in a nightclub, you're dancing with other women, and you got no ring on. Yeah, I'm married. You don't look like it. I don't believe you.
Right.
Show me you married by what you do. Be at home at a decent time. Bring home a check. Pay the bills. Feed the kids. Do some things that I can go, that guy's married, and he's a husband and a father. I know by what you do. You out swinging. I don't know what you're doing.
Swinging.
They don't even know what swinging is. I got to use that. I got to use words, y'all. They was like, what's swinging? Well, back in the 70s, if you were a guy that was out chasing women all the time, You were called a swinger.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know that.
We know that because you pushing 62. Or you there, right?
I'm already hitting.
All right. So you are a Christian by what you do. You are a soldier. You know how I know you're a soldier? Because you're in the middle of a fight. And when I see you, you're fighting.
Yeah.
You're not a soldier if you got shorts on and flip-flops and no gun.
No.
That means you're not fighting. Like, Satan, do whatever you want. I'm with you.
Right.
You're not fighting. I know you're a soldier because you're fighting. You're in your word. You're learning. You're in your prayer. You're fellowshipping with it. You're fighting for what? Life.
Yeah.
I want to express to you guys what God has had the privilege me to be able to see while I'm still here through visions. And I have to say through visions because they weren't dreams, okay? I went to heaven to see a friend of mine who died when he was 19. He did not show me just a big place. He showed me homes. He said, there are homes here. He showed me the homes. He said, the person lives there, that lives there. While I'm in heaven, he's showing me that homes are there. And he said, let's go, I'm gonna show you where God is. And I woke up. It's like, oh my God, my friend's okay, he's in heaven. Then the next time, I lead a guy to Christ. And he accepts Jesus, he gets out, I don't know what he's doing. But the next time I heard, he got shot. He was with some gang members and they shot him. I didn't know he bought a car and they shot him. His own gang members shot him to take his car because he went to show him he got a new car and he was working. He was living for Christ. And when he died, I was like, I'm not going to do the funeral because I thought he was still gangbanging. And then the Lord showed me Jesus in heaven welcoming him in and hugging him and saying, you're here because of me, not because of you. And I saw this same beautiful field I saw with Derek. Then I asked God, Lord, why do you always show me this same field? Because he showed me that was the third time he showed me that field. The next time I said, Lord, why do you always show me the field? And then he said, because if they land in the city, it'll be too much. So they land there and they're escorted to the city. So I had a vision and Lord gave me a vision. I was at work in a security uniform at Commerce Casino. And I dozed off and I had this vision that was a city with layer upon layer. It's like you're in a mall and there's 12 floors, but they're big as a city. Like the mall is from here to Texas. And there's layers and there's people walking and talking and laughing and sitting and hugging all over where you're sitting. And it's absolutely full of light and it's beautiful. And I saw a mother and a daughter sitting together. And the daughter said to the mother, look, mom, we look the same age. And I woke up. And the Lord said, they don't land there because it's too much to see. This is where they come in and they're escorted in. God allowed me to see that to let me know what? Where you're going is no fantasy. We're not going to be floating on any clouds. I saw a city. And when I woke up, you know what the Lord told me? There's nobody in heaven waiting for you to get here. People are here having a life. There is life there. If God can create Earth and there's a billion galaxies, what else do you think he can do?
Right.
So you're fighting for what? Life. And you got to fight against what? Lies. Because lies tell you you can sin as much as you want and still go to heaven. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Lies don't prepare you for the rapture because you're not looking for Christ because CNN won't tell you that the rapture's coming.
Right.
And Joel Osteen ain't going to tell you because it's your best life now. So you got to always be focused on the fact that I got something better than this place. I got something waiting for me. If I fight for it, I got something better than this place. This is not just about here. This is about my eternity. And that's what you're fighting for. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's it.